compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good morning, and hope you had a wonderful Easter. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. I loved how on Twitter over the weekend, especially on Sunday, you could tell all the Christian folk by their Easter greetings to one another. So, happy Easter greetings to you. Welcome. The number is 888-914-9149. Cyrus, did you have a good Easter? I hope you did.
It was beautiful. Beautiful weather, beautiful family. It was great. How about you?
You failed to mention beautiful food.
And I think because I'm trying not to think about food.
There was a lot of food on your table, right?
Too much food. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm taking a day off from food.
How did it go for you? Did you find yourself ever at any point face down in the food? Were the carb high or something?
No, it wasn't really. The food was great, but it was really the sweets that I don't normally dive into the sweets, but I hit the ground running early in the morning, and I didn't let up. I didn't let up off the gas until it's bedtime.
So
now I'm paying for it.
At a certain point, did you have that feeling like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have, or maybe I should stop? Did you ever have that feeling?
Not once. No, not
blew right past that.
Yeah. That was not the problem.
Did you exceed your typical normal 10,000 calorie a day limit?
Yeah. In fact, my wife and I were joking about it because she was the same way last night, and we figured we had hit our
10,000 calories a day.
Yeah. So once you go past that. Yeah. Nothing else past that counts. It's like you've hit a quota.
Oh, it counts.
And so, shush. Yeah. And everything past that doesn't count. So, might as well have an extra piece of chocolate cake.
Now, the normal adult calorie amount is 2,000 calories a day.
I hit that by 10 a.m.
Wow. Well, there will be confessions later this week.
I'm going to need it. Yeah, I want to hear about your Easter. How'd it go?
It was very good. Thank you. Same thing. The weather was great. We had lots of our grandchildren. Of the total number of grandchildren, 27, we had 16 here. And all but three of our children, so nine of our 11 children were here. So it was wonderful. And the weather cooperated, so it was great to be outdoors and just enjoy. So
that's beautiful.
Celebrating the birth or the resurrection of Jesus, of course. That's what it's all about. Yeah. The food is just gravy. But,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, but it was a great celebration.
Oh, that's great. That's really nice. It's so much better than last year. Do you remember last year's?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I barely do.
I don't
because
even
it
remember
was so,
how we celebrated Easter last year.
It was so unremarkable.
It was by ourselves. I remember that.
Yep, same here. Hmm. Yeah, this was much better. So this is a step in the right direction.
Before I press on, I want to ask you, did you see this beautiful mosaic of the risen Christ that I posted on Twitter yesterday?
Oh, you know, I don't know if I did. I didn't spend a lot of time on Twitter.
You were too busy eating. You didn't have time for
that's
Twitter.
Right. I'll check it out right now.
Yeah, do that. Well, I just want to mention that to everybody. This is one of the most beautiful. It's not elaborate, but it is one of the most beautiful images of Christ resurrected. It's all in mosaic. And so I'm looking at this thinking it must be from a church somewhere. But it's quite beautiful. And a lot of people thought the same thing because it got a lot of activity on Twitter. You'll see it right there at the top of my Twitter feed. At Patrick Madrid. Take a look at it. And just full disclosure, I received this in an email from a priest friend of mine who was sending out Easter greetings. And I wrote him back and I said, I can't help myself, but I've got to share that image on Twitter. And he didn't bark at me or anything, so I figured it was okay. Hypothetical. I want you to imagine yourself at Mass on Sunday, and you're in the middle of Mass, and all of a sudden, three or four police officers walk into the church, not like they're just curious about what's going on and they stand in the back with their hats in their hands. They walk straight up the center aisle and they go into the sanctuary while the priest is celebrating Mass. And they basically interrupt the Mass. They commandeer the microphone. The priest stops what he's doing at the altar. Picture yourself in the congregation watching this happen. The priest stops celebrating Mass, and the police commandeer the microphone, and they order all of you to leave immediately. This Mass must stop right now, and you have to leave right away because this is illegal under the COVID-19 restrictions, and if you linger and you don't depart immediately, you will be arrested and possibly fined, or who knows, whatever other penalties may accrue to you. What would you do in that situation? If you were just the average lay person, you're just sitting there following along at Mass, praying, and that happened. What would you do? Well, this is not merely a hypothetical. This actually happened, or something very close to it. It was Good Friday, just a couple of days ago, at a Polish parish, Christ the King Parish. This is in London, England. 6 p.m., it was the Good Friday liturgy. So there's no Mass on Good Friday, as you know. So it's for all intents and purposes, the same scenario that I just gave you. And police barged into Mass, and they did exactly what I just described to you. They went up into the sanctuary. You could see the video of the priest standing there frozen at the altar. Everybody's frozen. Everybody's going, what's going on here? Cyrus, I think we've got some audio of this, don't we?
Yeah, this is awful. So you can see the priest, you know, freeze up once the police start marching towards the
Sanctuary.
The sanctuary, and he finishes saying something, and it's in Polish, so I don't know what he's saying, but then the police take over, and they take the mic, and this is what they say.
Ladies and gentlemen, this gathering is unfortunately unlawful under the coronavirus regulations we have currently. You are not allowed to meet inside with this many people under law. At this moment in time, you need to go home. Failure to comply with this direction to leave and go to your home address ultimately could lead you to be fined £200, or if you fail to give your details, to you being arrested. I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, though it is Good Friday and I appreciate you would like to worship, that this gathering is unlawful, so please may you leave the building now. Thank you.
I want to make fun of his accent because it reminds me of some characters I've seen on TV, but I'm going to resist that urge. Let's just concentrate on the details here. So that happened, this is just this Good Friday, that happened in London at a Catholic parish. Now, granted, it was Polish, but that doesn't matter. It could have been any ethnicity, any language at any Catholic parish anywhere in the world. It just so happens that that took place in London. So what happened was the priest, I mean, God bless him. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if maybe he's wondering, is there maybe an immigration issue here? And if I put up a fuss, is it possible that some people might get arrested for that? I mean, I don't know all of the backstory. Of course, I don't think anybody does. But the priest, he acquiesced. He walked away from the altar. The congregation left the church. As is described in one news account of it, the altar boys removed their cassocks in the sacristy. They returned and genuflected in front of the altar before leaving the church. When it was too late, the parish issued a statement protesting the desecration and announcing that all Easter masses would be celebrated. The parish, for its part, said the police brutally exceeded their authority since all government requirements had been met. Okay, so I wasn't there, obviously, but you can see the video, and Cyrus will post this video for you. Imagine yourself in that situation. Imagine that that happened in your parish, or that it will happen in your parish at some point. I'm going to give you my personal opinion on this issue. I mean, what else can I give you, right? I think that was 100% the wrong way to handle this kind of provocation. And I'm not passing judgment on the priest. Who knows what was going through his mind? I don't know. Maybe he was elderly and frail. I don't know. But all other things being equal, let me give you what I think is the proper course of action in a situation like this, where the police or some other group decides to show up and disrupt Mass. And in this case, because the law says that you are not allowed, blah, 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 blah. Okay. First of all, I would, if I had been the priest, what I would have done, and I, you know, of course, yes, hindsight is 20/20. I grant you that. And I know it's easy to be an armchair quarterback. I grant you that too. And I know it's easier said than done. I grant that as well. I grant all of those provisos about what I'm going to say. But here's what I honestly believe that I would do. And quite frankly, I really do have this in mind. I would do this if this ever happened in my church. Think about your own parish. And think about your parish priest. And what would you do if a government disruption, a police disruption, took place at Mass at your parish? Here's what I think should have happened. What I would have done if I were the priest is I would have gotten on the microphone And I would have said, absolutely not. This celebration is not going to end. And I want all of you police out of this sanctuary, out of this church right now. You're welcome to worship with us if you want to. But if you're not here for that, then leave now. And then let them arrest you. And before they start getting out the handcuffs, because three policemen, three pairs of handcuffs. You got one priest, three, four, five, six altar boys, and a couple hundred people in the congregation. This is perfect. What I would do, and this is what I would recommend, and I know you may disagree with me, but I really do believe this. If this were to have happened in my church, and I were the priest, I'm not, but if I were the priest, I would have said, absolutely not, get out of here. We're going to continue to worship. You're welcome to worship with us if you want to, but if you're here to cause mischief, get out now. You can't really say, I'm going to call the police, obviously. And then I would say to everybody in the congregation, get out your cell phones and start recording this. And you know 200 cell phones would be out recording the aftermath of what happened. And then let them either back down or start arresting people. Let that be out there in public. Let that intrusion, that insufferable, inexcusable intrusion into Catholic worship, let it be out there. And you know what would happen. Chances are they would say, well, we're going to make a scene of this. So they would arrest the priest and drag him away. How many more people can they arrest? Maybe two more people? And I really do believe, if I were the priest, I would say, okay, if this is how it's got to be, go for it. Now, remember, it was just only a matter of hours 2,000 years ago when we celebrate the end of Holy Thursday, when Jesus himself was arrested praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The juxtaposition, the imagery is astonishing, don't you think? So then I think what would happen is there would be some kind of outcry that would replace the deer-in-the-headlights approach that so many Catholics have when it comes to the government saying, you can't have Mass indoors. You can't have more than five people indoors. You can't, you gotta be outdoors. You can only have, 10 people if you're outdoors, and so on and so forth. Just look at California as a case study for this. And then let's say that many other parish priests and bishops and others said, yeah, that's right. And so then they started doing it. And suddenly now you've got the government, you've got the police or whatever level of government, let's just say it's the local level, let's say it's the police. Suddenly now you've got this amazingly bad PR situation where you've got the police handcuffing and carrying out of church peaceful worshipers whose Mass has been disrupted and desecrated. Don't you think that will play in Peoria? I think that would play in Peoria. I think that people would react to that, and that might just be the very catalyst that's necessary to push back in a big way, maybe a way that will actually accomplish something that has been so ridiculous for so long. The over-exaggerated, over-the-top, ridiculous measures that have been taken. I'm thinking about California right now. This is not true everywhere. It's certainly true in California, my home state. I don't live in California anymore. I live in Ohio, but that's my home state. I love California. I hate seeing what's happened there. But as you know, we've talked about it on this program before, the Archbishop of San Francisco's, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, he's been at the forefront of the fight against this kind of government encroachment on the rights of people to freely worship. It's the First Amendment. You have a right to freely assemble and freely worship. And the government has no right to interfere with you. Now, some may say, yes, but under times of plague or war, I mean, there can be curfews. I don't dispute any of those things. But here's the problem. Lowe's is wide open, and you can pack a million people in Lowe's if they have masks on, and they can buy paint and light bulbs, and nobody's going to bother. Nobody's going to go in there and haul them out of there. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to restaurants. You can go to just about anything when it comes to public services, but for some strange reason, I just, can't quite put my finger on it. For some reason, they just don't want you to be able to do the very same thing that you can do in Lowe's at your parish church. Isn't that odd? What an odd coincidence.
Well, isn't that special?
That's what I would do. What would you do? My number is 888-914-9149. Now, I'm not done yet. So that's the first one. That's the Polish parish in London. The parish priest, he complied, and you saw what happened. Now, there's another priest. This guy is in County Cavan in Ireland. His name is Father P.J. Hughes. And he has accused the Gardaí, which is the local sort of municipal police, of harassing him and churchgoers on Sunday as he went to prepare to celebrate Mass. And this is, again, in breach of the pandemic restrictions, which do not even allow public worship in Ireland, of all places. Isn't that strange? This, by the way, reported by the Irish Times. Father P.J. Hughes, parish priest of Mullaghorin in County Cavan, has already received a $588 fine following a Sunday Mass that he celebrated on March the 7th. The priest said he does not intend to pay this fine. Speaking to the Irish Times about his dealings with the Gardaí, the municipal police, he said, "They intimidated me going into Mass. They intimidated me and they intimidated the people. They were annoying the people and they were talking strong, telling us all the figures that we are all sick of listening to on the radio of over 5,000 dead, as if nobody else died of anything else, only COVID, telling us that we were creating a hotspot and yet nobody from this parish has died of COVID." He explained, I went down to a house to have a cup of tea with the family before Mass, and on my way back, they blocked the three roads leading into the church. They stopped. They had a checkpoint at each road. They had four cars, three squad cars and a big white van. There were eight Gardaí in all. Those are the police. And one car in the car park at our church. That's how they quaintly say parking lots over there, car park. One man who comes to Mass here with his son, that man rang and said, "The guards are after stopping me, and I won't get to Mass today." Father Hughes said that the police don't realize what they're doing. It's one thing about COVID, but the chance of getting COVID here is very, very low. And they're offending and hurting the people now mentally. So this is an example of where you have a priest who's taking a different approach. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to cave in and not celebrate Mass for my people just because the local constabulary says that I can't. Now, it's not just local, it's national, obviously. I think that this is the kind of thing that there should be a lot more of. And you may say, yeah, but it's the law. Yeah, okay, right. But do you remember a guy named Dr. Martin Luther King? Ring any bells? Does that ring any bells? Freedom Riders, any bells? Of course, you remember them. And even if you're not old enough to remember them, I was a kid when this was going on, but I remember when he was assassinated in 1968. I was 8 years old. But surely you've studied this peaceful, you know, the peaceful protests that they would engage in, where they would defy the law because the law said that black people couldn't ride up front on a bus. And that if a white woman or a white man got on the bus and a black person happened to be sitting up front, the black person had to get up and go sit in the back of the bus because that seat was for the white person. As amazing and ridiculous as that may seem, that was the law in many, many places. It was the law. The law says. So you have people like Rosa Parks, an unassuming private citizen, woman who happened to be black and happened to be riding on a bus, and she happened to be told by the bus driver that you have to get up and go sit in the back of the bus because there's a white person that needs to sit in your seat. She didn't do it. She wouldn't do it. And guess what happened to her? She got arrested. And guess what happened? We finally began to make some huge breakthroughs in the area of civil rights and anti-discrimination against black people. Dr. Martin Luther King, he was the leader in many respects of this movement. And you know what they did time after time after time? They broke the law. They broke the law. They did it peacefully. And they put themselves at risk of fines and imprisonment, having dogs set upon them. Bull Connor, the mayor of Birmingham, Alabama. It's a long and very amazing list of people who did exactly what I'm just proposing, that nowadays if the government says, the police say, you can't go to Mass. Hey, if you want to go across the street to Lowe's and buy some paint, no problem. All 300 of you, just put your masks on and you can go in there and buy paint, but you can't sit here in church and worship God. Because why? Well, because. That's why. Because we said so. That's why. When we come back, I will share with you a third example that happened in a different way, more to my liking if you ask me. I'm curious to know what you think about this. And I have a feeling that if things continue as they are, you're likely to see some of this very kind of thing taking place where you live. So forewarned is forearmed, if you ask me. I'm not looking for anyone to get hurt. I'm certainly not looking for anything to be done wrong. But you have to stand up against tyranny. I'll be right back. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
We are back. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. My number is 888-914-9149. I just shared with you two examples of two different ways of handling police intrusion into, you know, a mass type setting at a Catholic parish. In one case, it was a parish in London, a Polish parish. Police came in the middle of a Good Friday service just a couple of days ago, and they shut it down right in the middle. You know, hundreds of people there for Good Friday. The priest is at the altar. The police come up, they commandeer the microphone, and they shut it down. Sorry, you've got to leave now. This is illegal. And if you don't, we're going to arrest you and fine you. So they all complied and they all left, and that was that. I've been saying, and I said so in this past segment, I said, you know, if it had been me, yeah, I know 2020 vision, 2020 hindsight and all that. But in any case, I really do think the right way to handle that would have been to say, get out of here. You can worship with us if you want, but if you're not here to do that, then leave, because we're not going to stop what we're doing here. And then, of course, if it led to the police pushing the point and arresting the priest, so be it. Let that get out there in the public view. Let that get out there if priest after priest and bishop after bishop, it just says, to heck with you. We're going to have mass. And if you're going to arrest me, fine. Do it. Let's see what happens. I think there would be, for the most part, you would have the kooks. You would have the, you know, the people for whom their mask is their new religion. And making sure that you wear your mask is their new religion. And I'm not saying don't wear a mask. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that there would be enough normal people whose brains aren't addled who would say, this is outrageous. And if it could reach critical mass, maybe there would be enough of a pushback that could change things. I'm thinking about people power in the Philippines at the end of the Marcos dictatorship. And they came out into the streets and the freeways by the millions, by the tens of millions. And just by their presence, they overthrew that dictatorship. Anyway, so here's the third example. So the first one was the parish in London. The priest folded. Okay. God bless him. The second example was a priest in Ireland whose parish was blockaded with police cars. You know, like 6, 8, 9 different police cars blocking with checkpoints the roads leading up to the parish. And they fined him nearly $600 for celebrating Mass anyway. And he said, I'm not going to pay the fine. And you know what will happen? You got to pay the fine or we'll arrest you. Fine, arrest me. Well, okay, but you better pay that fine. I'm not going to pay the fine. Arrest me. And if enough priests, and yes, bishops, we're not going to leave the bishops out, if they were willing to do that, I do believe things would change for the better. It might get kind of grim at first, but faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till last. Think of all the martyrs who engaged in peaceful resistance against government malfeasance. Again, just to mention one more time, if you think I'm being extreme, tell me what you think about Dr. Martin Luther King and the Freedom Riders and Rosa Parks and all the people who in the civil rights movement of the 1960s and beyond were willing, when necessary, to break unjust laws in order to bring their cause forward. And they won. And those were bad laws. And it's a bad law that says that 1,000 people can pack into Lowe's and restaurants and other places to do what they want to do, and yet you can't have more than 5 people in church on Sunday, if at all. That's a bad law. Here's the third scenario. My number is 888-914-9149. Now, this guy is a Protestant pastor. He's a street preacher. And I've thought about this since I saw the story a couple days ago, and I've decided I'm not going to tell you what his name is for the following reason. He seems to me, well, I'll just put it this way. I don't think that naming him is necessary. You'll get the idea. He's from Poland. He lives in Canada. He's primarily a street preacher. So he's the guy out there in the public square with the bullhorn who's preaching and, you know, trying to share his belief in Jesus with other people. He's a controversial guy in Canada. He's been arrested before. And there's video that he took. This is something that we'll post for you so you can see it for yourself. And he's in his church, and some Canadian police show up to disrupt his church service. This is what happens.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Okay. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately.
Pause for a second. Pause. Okay. So just to give you a mental view of this, he's at the top of the stairs. There's like the front door of the church, and then you go up some stairs, then you come into the main area of the church. So there's like 6 police officers in uniform who have come in. They're in the vestibule. They're trying to come up the stairs. He's standing at the stop at the top of the stairs, and he is telling them what you're hearing. So let's continue.
Out! Out! Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out! 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 Out of this property immediately. Out! Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't care what you have to say. Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out! Nazis are not welcome here. Out! And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant.
These police officers, have the deer in the headlights look. They totally were not expecting this. They expected they would roll in and just take over, and that's not happening.
Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communists, fascists. Don't you dare coming back here.
So at this point, they've left. They've turned around. They're walking. They're walking back towards their car. They're like, we're not getting anywhere with this guy. And he turns the camera. At this point, they're far enough away, and he turns the camera on himself. And talks directly to the camera from this point on.
Right. So now his congregants are back inside the church behind him. The police have scurried away, deer in the headlights, and here's what happens next.
Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me. Wow. How dare they? Sick people.
So at this point, yeah. Some of the congregants have come out, and there you can see them. He has the camera on himself, and you can see that they have their cameras up and they're recording. This part struck me odd because it seemed like the proper thing for him to do at that point is turn around and talk to his flock, his people, right? But instead, he he's taking this as a social media moment, and he continues to record himself, and in a strange way, he's ignoring
the church service. The church that service. He didn't want disrupted.
So he can talk about how, you know, they're coming in to shut everything down, like they're Nazis.
And you know, Cyrus, this is one of the reasons why I decided it may not be necessary to promote him personally.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
he seems to want some notoriety, and I don't begrudge it. I'm not gonna knock that. I'm just saying that what he did, I thought was good. And
yeah, imagine if that other the first audio we played this morning,
the Polish priest.
Think if the Polish priest had done that, and what a mm-hmm. different scene that could have been.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So we don't need to play anymore, do
no,
we?
No, I guess
more?
Not. And if you're really, really interested, I posted this audio on the show page. So mm-hmm. if you want to dig, we made it easy for you.
Right. Yeah. And we're not saying, you know, we want to make it impossible for anyone to find out more, but rather he himself, who he is and what he does, he's not the point of this as much as what he did, I think, is the point of this. So thank you, Cyrus, for playing that. So my thought for all of you is this kind of thing is happening. Yeah, it happened in London. Yeah, it happened in Canada. No, it hasn't happened in Pacoima, California yet, as far as we know anyway. But I really do think that if things continue trending in this direction, I hope they don't. But if they do, just be thinking about what you yourself might do if something like this occurred at your parish. If you're the parish priest and, you know, the police decide to barge in and shut mass down, what are you going to do? What's your reaction going to be? That's all. That's the reason I'm bringing this up to you. It's not to outrage you, but to make you have some thoughts about what could happen in the future. And if so, what would you do? That's all. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, is there any chance that maybe the gremlins are working today? By the way, this is not a spot. This is actually me live. We've had several just sudden, abrupt shutdowns of the show.
Old Hairy Legs does not like you saying we should stand up for our rights.
I think you're right. I really do. I mean, like, what are the odds?
Yeah, this is unheard of. The mm-hmm. the glitches, for
and
lack
the way
of a better
happening.
Word. Yeah.
That's why I think this program is a show that hell hates. Hell hates this show.
Yep. Good thing we're persistent, though. We don't give up. It's like,
and
all right.
Yet he persisted.
All right.
Or something like that. Right?
Route one didn't work, so let's try route two. Oh, that didn't That's work. Right. All right. We've got a third way to connect here. We'll go that way. Ha ha. Yeah. We win.
We're now on, we have tin cans and a string between
that's,
us.
That's right.
Well, let's press on, and, you know, not old hairy legs notwithstanding, let's go to John Paul in Passaic, New Jersey. Hi, John Paul.
I haven't gone anywhere.
Thank you.
I was listening to the first part about the Polish parish. And then when I was speaking to the screener, a man came on who shouted the police out. So I didn't hear who he was. Or I mean, was he a Catholic, Jewish, whatever he was?
Yeah, he had an accent. That was a Polish Protestant pastor in Canada. And he's a street preacher primarily. He has a church, I guess, but he does a lot of street preaching. He's a controversial guy. And I think I probably need to mention, you know, by airing this, I'm not endorsing him. I'm not endorsing his views. I'm certainly not endorsing his theology. But I do endorse the way he handled this intrusion on the part of the police. Six police officers who barged into the church. They were going to come in and shut down the service. And he basically put his body between the police and his congregants, and he faced them down, and they scampered. So that I like, and that I would like to see some of in the Catholic Church, quite frankly. So that's what happened. That's who that guy was.
Well, I called with this question, and then when I heard him yelling, I think, well, wait a minute, this is kind of what I'm calling about. So okay. I didn't know if it was answered or not. So one of my questions, so many things popped in my mind, but one of them was, this happened on a Friday evening, or I suppose, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, which in my former religion, the Jewish religion, you know, it is when we would go to temple or congregation, we would go to the shul. But also, the Muslims go to their house of worship. And I was wondering if on this Friday evening, any Muslim houses of worship were interrupted. Because I can imagine...
You would have heard about it. You would have heard nothing but caterwauling from the left-wing press if anything like that had happened.
And I don't think they would have allowed it to go on. Mm-hmm. I think the imam would get up there and take a broom and sweep them right out of there. You know, and these people are, if they're Polish, they have forgotten what the Poles did. And the kind of, I know the Poles from Poland, and I grew up with the Poles from Poland. They wouldn't have taken this. No. So they've somehow become westernized, and they sit there very passively. This is not the Polish people I know. You know, to allow this to happen. Nor is it the Polish priest that I remember.
Well, let's be fair to the priest, and this is what I tried to say early on, John Paul, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I like it when people give me the benefit of the doubt instead of leaping to conclusions without having all the information. We don't know what was going through that priest's mind. He may have been elderly. He may have been ill. He may have been thinking, gee, I know that there's some people here in the congregation who don't have their papers in order. So it could have been anything that might have made him think maybe the best thing to do in this case is just to go along to get along. So I grant that those exigencies may in fact have been in place. But aside from those, on you know, all other things being equal, what I'm advocating for is let's have some more Martin Luther King, some more freedom riders, some more people who say this is an unjust, unnecessary law that conflicts with God's law. And just as Dr. Martin Luther King and the other brave people in the civil rights movement, they defied those unjust laws, they broke those unjust laws, and they were right to do so. That's the way I'm looking at these intrusions.
Gandhi turned back the British Empire. Mahatma Gandhi turned back the entire British Empire.
Exactly.
I mean, just one skinny man in a little loincloth. You know, it's amazing what can be done when you're on the side of right.
Right. Now, I know, John Paul, that there are people who will disagree and they'll say, no, you know, it's for people's protection. And yeah, well, explain to me then how the same people can go across the street to Lowe's in the hundreds and do what they do there or go to a restaurant or go to any of the other places with impunity and no government restriction other than, hey, you know what? Wear a mask and just socially distance. Other than that, you're free to come and go. But be in church? No. There's something seriously wrong with that equation.
Yeah. I mean, how many people in Congress? They don't even have the distancing there, I don't think. Everybody goes in there and they rob us of our money and they go home. And
but the rules are different for them. You know, the rules for you are different from the rules for them. And if you want to go out and protest in the streets and raise cane and break windows and chant slogans, as long as your political beliefs are okay, that's fine too. But you can't go to church.
Patrick, one more idea popped in my head, and I thought to myself, here we are reading about Peter saying, I don't know the man. And on the same night, people are saying, me? What? No, I'll leave. No, don't put me in. Don't put me in the position you're putting Jesus in. No, thank you. I mean,
I think I would do.
That's all I can tell you.
I agree. Yeah, I think about what Jesus said. You know, when he gave us the Our Father, lead us not into temptation. I don't ever want to be in that situation. I don't want you to have to be in that situation or anyone else. But if it happens, it seems to me the best way to prepare is to have in mind ahead of time, what will you do? So anyway, John Paul, thank you. I appreciate it very much. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Connor now, listening in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hi, Connor.
Hi, Mr. Madrid. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you as well.
So I had a question. Me and my friends were watching The Passion of Christ the other day, mm-hmm. and we were just thinking, like, can you sin in the afterlife? So we were thinking that there's a bunch of fallen angels out there, and presumably the fallen angels lived in heaven before they fell from the grace of God. And we're wondering that if humans could sin in the afterlife too.
Mm-hmm. The answer is no, they can't, at least not the blessed in heaven, because they're confirmed in grace. So there's no, you know, there's no intention, there's no reason that any of them would ever sin because they're seeing God face to face. So it's effectively speaking an impossibility for them. Doesn't mean they don't have free will, but just like you would never go burn your house down because even though you've got free will and you could do it, it would be unthinkable. You would just never do it. So imagine that times a billion trillion. Now, maybe the calculus here is off slightly because you're assuming that that the angels were originally in heaven and then some of them sinned. In fact, they were not in heaven yet. So God created the angels, all of them all at once. And then it seems almost instantaneously after they were created, he gave them this test, analogous to the test that he gave Adam and Eve. So he gave the angels this test, and we think it had something to do with showing them the plan of salvation, showing them that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, would become a man and be one of us and die for our sins on the cross. And the angels would recognize that they would have to worship Jesus. And some of them, beginning with Lucifer, said no. So we think that it was a test along those lines. And as soon as they failed the test, those good angels became demons. And instantaneously upon passing the test, the good angels then went to heaven. Then they were admitted into the beatific vision. So if you think about it that way, that explains it. And that would also reinforce the fact that you can't sin when you're in heaven. Because had they been in heaven and seeing God face to face, and then decided, you know what, I'm going to sin, then, of course, that would change the calculation. But because they weren't in heaven, they didn't see God face to face the way they do in heaven now, that's why they could sin. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, that makes more sense. And we were talking about this because we had a discussion about purgatory, and we were wondering, it's like the process of purification that you go through purgatory doesn't allow you to sin in heaven. So you wouldn't actually want to sin in heaven, but you still have the free will to do so. But I guess that kind of cancels out the other.
Yeah, I realize what you're saying, and it's difficult for us to comprehend what that must mean. I don't think that it's because of what happens in purgatory, therefore you can't sin, because certainly the same is true for all the blessed in heaven who never went to purgatory. They just went straight to heaven. But it seems like the easiest way to understand it would be to say, like, you would never do something so terrible like burn your house down, even though you could. I mean, in theory, you're free to do it. You have free will, but you would never do it. It would be unthinkable. It would be so contrary to everything that you hold dear that you would never do it. Well, I would say take that same realization and multiply it times a billion trillion, and that's how much more so the saints in heaven would never even enter their minds. It would never even cross their minds to rebel against God, the one who satisfies all their desires and longings. Anyway, Connor, thank you. Very interesting questions. I appreciate it. Let's go to Matthew now, listening in New Jersey. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi. How old are you?
I'm 9.
Great. I remember being 9. So what can I do for you?
My question is, I didn't know about this. So let's say a person only lives like 2 days and they don't sin. But then you say that they're not perfect because of original sin. I don't really get that because they didn't really sin. I don't really get it.
That's a great question. All right. So is this baby who dies at 2 days, was that baby baptized or not baptized?
Probably baptized.
Okay. So let's talk about it first baptized, and then we'll see what would happen if the baby wasn't baptized. So in the case of the baby who dies at 2 days of age and is baptized, I had a little sister who died that way. I was about your age when she was born, and she lived about a day or two and then she died. She had some problems with her lungs that they didn't know about. And back in those days, I don't think they had enough medical ability to save her like they could now. So I can relate to this scenario, Matthew. So if the baby's baptized, the baby has no original sin, and there's no actual sin, of course, because the baby never committed any sins. Little babies at that age, they can't rebel against God. They don't have the ability to do that. So that little sister of mine, or the two-day-old baby in your scenario, would go straight to heaven because original sin is gone and their sins are gone. Now let's talk about a baby who was not baptized. Here, there's no problem with any sins the baby committed, as you already said, but yet the baby does have, the baby inherited original sin. Now, original sin doesn't mean that the baby is guilty of any sins. The baby is not guilty of any sins. Think of it this way, Matthew. Imagine that your mom and dad were billionaires, billions and billions of dollars, and super nice houses, and a private plane, and a yacht, and cars, and all that money. And you, as their son, are the heir. So when you turn 18, all of that money comes to you because it's legally yours because you're your parent's son. You follow me so far? Matthew? I don't know if we lost Matthew. All right, maybe we lost Matthew. Well, I'm hoping that Matthew's still listening. So you are the heir to that fortune. And let's say, and this would not be true of your parents, of course, but let's just say in this scenario that your parents committed some really terrible crime and they got arrested and they went to prison. And part of the penalty due to their crime was that all their wealth, all that money and all the homes and all the everything else, that they lost that. So now, when you turn 18 years old, you don't inherit that because they lost it. They no longer have it. They can't give it to you. So you now, at 18 years of age, you are missing something that was rightfully yours that you now don't get. Think of it that way. That's kind of what original sin is like. It means that when we're born, when we're conceived, we're missing some of the gifts that God wants to give us, including grace in our souls. We don't have that when we're born. There are a lot of things that we don't have that Adam and Eve lost for us, but here's the thing. That is what the sacrament of baptism gives to the person. It wipes away that condition of original sin. It gives grace to the soul. It makes the soul able. Ah, you're back. Good. It makes the soul able to be able to receive the other sacraments and to love God and go to heaven. Do you see the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thanks for the call. And this is an important topic. I'm glad you're thinking about it. Thank you. Tell your mom thanks for letting you call me. Well, hour one is in the can, as they say. We're going to proceed to hour two and then three right after this. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.